What an improvement over last week. When I arrived here last week, the sermon title was A Faceless Congregation. I have a multiple now to know, that not just these plates here, one of which is sleeping. Now I have to keep all of you awake. But first, the scriptures do. When the Bible says Jesus explained the scriptures, he had the Torah, the law, and the prophecies. The lectionary Hebrew scripture reading for today comes from Jeremiah and the 20th chapter. O Lord, you have enticed me, and I was enticed. You have overpowered me, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all day long. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I must cry out, I must shout violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. If I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, then within me there comes something like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. For I hear many whispering, terror is all around. Denounce him. Let us denounce him. All my close friends are watching for me to stumble. Perhaps he can be enticed, and we can prevail against him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a dread warrior. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble, and they will not prevail. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, you test the righteous. You see the heart and the mind. Let us see your retribution upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hands of the evildoers. Paul continues to write to a faceless congregation he has not met in Rome, and therefore also to us. In Romans 6, it begins, what then are we to say? Should we continue to sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can he who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that the old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed, and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is free from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. May God bless us in the reading of Scripture, which is meant for our hope and our salvation. First, a disclaimer. We are all experimenting this morning. My printer won't work. I always have paper in front of me. And now I have one of these things. And you grew up with these things, but for me, reading off a screen is just not my cup of tea. So there will be some pauses here when the electronics do not keep up with me. I've had a little help, but here we go. One of my favorite movies is Glory, which you have not seen in your lifetimes because it was before your lifetimes. You might find it on YouTube by now because it's probably out of copyright and part of the culture that we all live in now. Now this, just as a reminder, the movie is about a Civil War, a young captain played by Matthew Broderick, who, because of family connections and a system of politics and luck, finds himself promoted to colonel, which is marvelous in itself, and put in charge of an all-African-American regiment that's being formed in Massachusetts. Well, the bulk of the movie is about the many obstacles that they have to work through with the racism that was built into their time. A favorite scene I have is when they are done with their training and they're on a barge traveling south. The colonel comes up to one of the soldiers played by Morgan Freeman, and noting that he had been very, very helpful in solving a lot of scuffles in the camp, promotes him immediately to a sergeant major. He's now in charge and a liaison, but officially now. He had been doing this task, but now he was wearing it. And the sergeant leans in to the colonel and says, "Sir, I don't think I'm wanting this." And the colonel, who had gone from captain, says, "I know exactly how you feel." That is the situation of Jeremiah in our scripture. He did not want to be a prophet. He tried to get out of it, but God persisted. In the scripture that the Hebrew involved in this scripture, it's a very violent language that God made him do this, at least in that was Jeremiah's description of it all. It goes like this: "Against my will, you forced me to do this. I did exactly like you told me. People don't listen. In fact, they hate me. God, I don't think I'm wanting this." When Jeremiah shuts up, the truth bursts from inside. He longs to be in the great congregation, just to be one of the crowd praising God, but here he has been put in this leadership position by voice. And he starts to think, this can't get any worse. But even though he lives in a time of bad outcomes, he trusts that God is with him. Even when that walk brings him and all the people he had been trying to alter the behavior in the sight of God, even when that outcome ends with everyone being marched into captivity, he asserts three things don't change: God's steadfast love, his hesed, his complete commitment to the people is with them, even in captivity. The longing for a community that Jeremiah had after being shut out by even his close friends, shutting him out for speaking the truth, he still had a longing to be in community with them, even those who oppressed him. And three, Jeremiah gives us one of the gifts of God that we have. It might be good that God is good all the time, but you may not feel it all the time. Just wait till midterms. You might feel separate from a community, separate from even your close friends. But the ability to be honest to God, to be truthful about God's word in its saving nature, but also in the real hurts that you have to share with God and to others whom you trust, is a gift of healing. As it says, the alternative is to feel your bones on fire. The gift of sharing is there for Jeremiah, even though the outcomes aren't going to turn out well for him and his generation, even though he is going to fail in his hopes for the original vision of what his job is to be. He knows that God is with him and he is not alone. I hope that none of you have summer jobs that you hate. My worst summer job, and here's the problem, I realize I know I've just touched on one of the hurts of this particular time. There's no work out there because everyone's still shut in, and those businesses that are still available that had this kind of summer jobs, they're not there available to you. So share this part with next year's graduating class. My worst summer job was at PSE&G at the Newark Power Plant down on Raymond Boulevard on the Passaic River. Here was the bad part about the job: 2 weeks days, 2 weeks evenings, 2 weeks graveyard, midnight to 8. If your relief did not show up, mandatory 8 hours overtime. 8 hours overtime, you just covered the next shift. Remember, it was a power plant. We burned oil. On a hot summer day, you could still go outside that plant to cool off. No matter what the temperature was outside, it was hotter inside. One of the jobs was to go up on the sixth floor, I think, no, the ninth floor, these things don't change, to make sure that there were no leaks in the boiler, which could lead to a overheating situation. To get to that, check the thermometer, you had to work your way around the boiler with the little baby steps, and as you get to a particular point to read the thermometer, you're recognizing that it's only 160 degrees where you're standing. Your job is now quickly to get back to where it's only 120 degrees. You can't stay in such places long, but it's a great college summer job. They bring college students to come in to do this all the time. But my worst part of the job was to sing to the rats. The way to cool off these boilers was to go to the down to the river, where we would bring in cool water. That was our coolant at the time. To bring that water in from the Passaic River directly. Now, I know it's a wonderful river now, but back then it was labeled the sixth dirtiest in the nation. The dioxins were younger then, but they're still down there on the bottom as part of the EPA cleanup. And you can find anything floating in the Passaic River, and we did. But to get that coolant in, you'd bring it through these screens, and after 4 hours or so, there'd be a lot of stuff in those screens, and the rats came. In the dark, you can't see them, but you can hear them scurrying around. So the job was to go down and to let them know they're coming. You sing at the top of your lungs to the rats. Now, my singing would scatter all of you if I did at the top, and it worked for the rats, too. Off they would go, and at 4 a.m., as the water's now rushing through the screens to knock all the stuff off so we can use the river again, you start to think, is my life ever going to be any worse than this? The answer is, of course things can get worse. I'll get to that later. Jeremiah saw that things were bad, and they were going to get worse. We also found it in the psalm we read this morning. Gladden my soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call on you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my cry of supplication. In the day of my trouble, I call on you, for you will answer me. Not there will be no bad days in your life. This is a Hallmark greeting. This is another wonderful day of your life. But when bad days come, I am not alone. Now, Reverend Barbara won't tell you this, but it's throughout the hymns too. Look at a four-verse hymn in your hymnal, and those of you who are out there somewhere, you can check this out when you come back. Many four-verse hymns go like this. Verse one, God is great! Verse 2, here's a great example of God's love, creative spirit, one thing. Verse 3, oh well, nevertheless, a little truth-telling right here. Our original national anthem did this in verse 3, by the way. Wonderful verse, you know. The second verse was similar. The third verse was a little love letter to our enemies, the British, and saying, your blood will wash out your foul footsteps imprint. Wouldn't that make great to do on the 4th of July? I got that anger in there in the third verse. But for a lot of times, it's for faithful people saying, I know God is good and I can see God is good, but there's this thing that's happened in our life or my life that's there, and despite this, praise God. Check it out for those of you online to when you come back, when the doors open again. And there is the lection reading from Matthew. I didn't use today, but it was alluded to in the song that was the hymn that was sung before. It goes something. It has the phrase in it: "Have no fear of them." You can hear him echoing. This is Jesus speaking, but you can hear him echoing Jeremiah. However, it also says, "Even the hairs on your head are numbered, and I didn't want to hear the snickering of even a small group about that one, so I chose the other two lectionary readings. And the irony of this is, on Father's Day, that one of the mysteries of me to my father was my ponytail. Different generation. For practical purposes, then, our lectionary lines up with two basic themes, obviously the high school graduation and Father's Day. Fathers, you know that it always can get worse. In my generation, there is a life cycle of parenting, and in my generation, there was very little training for taking care of children. Golf, yes, parties, yes, there's different things, but male parenting really wasn't well ingrained in the generation of my father. But so here I come, and on a night when a little one will not go to sleep, and you have to get up in the morning, you start to think, can it get any worse than this? Yes, they become toddlers. You sleep through the night, but as they're awake, every moment is this inch, an inch away from death. Yes, that's the way your parents look at you, as survivors of those days. And then it's off to the schoolyard. And knowing that you will face all the terrors we faced with how cruel people can be to each other, and hoping that you come out of that, the gift of God that you are, and not crushed by those environments where there's nothing much you can do to help. And teenagers, trial and error, finding out where it is you want to go and be in life, and here you are at a point where you have a new direction, everyone gathered here. That's fantastic, but the trial and error, I don't know, maybe I had a friend, Dan Weinberg. He knew he wanted to be a doctor when he was 5 years old, and everything he did in high school, went to go to medical school, he went through that path. That isn't my path. But to your path, for some of you, I'm sorry, I've jumped my page. For graduation, I can see that once the governors agree, you will be part of new environments. For your fathers, this will be an additional terrifying thing, because now there's not even any coaching or PTA or connection. We don't even have access to any kind of how well you're doing in school. You are adults. You are in new environments, but you're still your parents' children. So for fathers, of course it can get worse. And we'll stop right there, because we're right at that edge in your life cycle. For you, this was the time you were supposed to be vibrant and vital in your high school graduation, which basically ended in March anyway. Nothing much happens in high school after March. And this happened. Baseball season's lost, prom's lost, all these things which were part of what every class before you to 1919, 100 years of classes having, if it was part of their culture, a prom, at graduation, face-to-face goodbyes, but not you. But here is something that is true. You're going to share this marker in your life as something you share with everybody in your new environment. Everybody went through this. The upperclassmen will have gone through this. You have this unique marker, which was not part of mine. Now, the background of mine was a Vietnam War. For the background for you is this timeout, this captivity. Maybe you found out some things that will be useful for you in this captivity as you go off to that new environment. Maybe it's going to be for some of you, if you're in California, the first year will be online, because they're not ready to make a change out there. That's where my family lives. But for you, you might be going off to those new environments. You might be at home. But nevertheless, you'll be influenced by something out of the control or vision of your parents. But in community with a whole class that is going through the same thing. For those who the next season will not be nearby, it's clear that the congregation of First Presbyterian at Caldwell have one thought. We don't think we're wanting this. They will miss you. But they send you out with whatever you learned here, because your path is not for their authorship. Your path is yours. But they sent you out with eyes to see that God is alive in the world, ears to listen for those who hurt around you, hands to raise on behalf of God as partners in God's healing. Caldwell is sending you out as eyes and ears, compassion spies in a different land, to find out where God can be represented by you as the good news, as you can be a model of the healing presence God offers, even if it's just listening, but especially if it's just listening. First, a warning. Of course, it can get worse. The plan you have right now may not make any sense next year. I went to college as a chemistry major. That quickly evolved, a chemistry major to be a chemistry teacher and coach football. That was maybe not in that order. That quickly evolved to a business major when I found out that chemistry in high school is a lot about formulas, chemistry in college, just about 20 hours a week in the lab, and that wasn't for me. Then off to business major, and then to an English major in education, and then I enlisted in the Army, so you see how that went. But after all that, God blended for me a life of athletics, a search for meaning, and a relational ability to listen and to reframe and to work with people and get paid for it. It was a unique thing woven together for me, but my path is not yours. Ready yourself to see surprises from God about the gifts you don't even know you have. And that's something to say to high school graduates, but it's also something to say to parents of graduates and grandparents of graduates, because each part of life has a brand new relation around us, and sometimes the wisdom of years to listen and suggest, and sometimes the wisdom of years to listen and listen. It is different for everyone here as a generation and those online, because I know that the viewership is going to go increased if they haven't cut off from this part to watch the important part of the service when you were all here earlier. But surely they'll stay for the music. I get to be slide in between. In whatever case, whatever you find, come back. For this place needs healing too. As you may find that offering your vows and the relationships that have formed you here, of those you've learned here, will also nurture you, whether the doors are closed or not. Peek in on Sunday morning. Come back for Christmas. We'll be open by then. Praise God. Let's hope. All God's promises in life is that you get your one piece of the jigsaw puzzle. That's all you get. Don't think that there's no right piece to go next to yours and that it's missing now because someone didn't put it back in the box. And you can look at the same piece 100 times and then come back an hour later and then see exactly where it's designed to fit. Realize that you can have things that you previously believed and they can change, but take it apart and start again, and then it happens. You find your place. So last week I told you when I was finishing, and I'm finishing. Graduates, compassionately spy. Being alive to God, find the surprising gifts that you didn't know you already had to partner with God, but for now, a blessed graduation. Fathers, get ready for more jigsaw puzzles. But for now, happy Father's Day. First Presbyterian, you each have a piece of the church puzzle. Find your piece, feel its edges, find where you fit. But now for you all, a sensational summer solstice, and as always, the shalom of God is your guide and friend.